years earlier.
A dotty old lady, Volker concluded. Maybe she came out here to carve more statues out of asteroids.
Vectors matched, his navigation officer announced. Close enough to board her.
Volker nodded. I'll go aboard.
Alone?
Yes.
He pointed to two of his crewmen who had crowded into the bridge. Nico and Kirk. Stand by to come aboard when I give the signal. The two crewmen went to the airlock with Volker, where they all pulled on nanofabric spacesuits that had been taken from the same luxury yacht that the captain's oversized desk had come from. Wait here. If there's trouble, I'll holler.
Right,
they said in unison.
And if there isn't trouble, Volker thought as he stepped into the airlock chamber, I want to look through that ship and see if there's anything worth taking for myself.
Yuan was shocked at the ease with which Tamara disposed of the guards protecting the artifact's asteroid. She, Coop, and four crew members transferred to Commander Ballesto's vessel. Less than an hour later, her image appeared on Viking's main screen, smiling smugly. You can come aboard now. No need for weapons. Feeling puzzled, uneasy, Yuan went to the airlock and floated through the spongy plastic tunnel that connected Viking's airlock with that of the security guard's orbiting vessel. On the bridge he found Coop sitting in the command chair, with Tamara bending over him, spraying a bandage on his upper arm. A laser beam had burned through Coop's sleeve and seared his flesh. Then Yuan saw Commander Ballestos, and his guts heaved. The older man lay crumpled like a rag doll in a corner, his chest soaked with blood, his wide-eyed face looking very surprised. You killed him, Yuan gasped. Change of command, said Tamara, pointing to the control panel that spanned one side of the bridge. Now I've got all his authorization codes. I'm in charge of security for the artifact now. The grunts on the other ships are taking my orders like good little corporate robots. Yuan understood her tone clearly. I'm under her command now, too. Bring the woman and the freak here, Tamara said. I want them to lead us down to the artifact. Yuan couldn't take his eyes off the corpse. He'd never seen a dead body before. All his kills had been at a distance, clean, impersonal. You didn't have a gun with you. How did you... Tamara flicked her right wrist, and a wire-thin blade slid into her hand. With this, she said. Close up and personal. Then she added, there are four other crew members down in the galley, and one of our people. The crew tried to make a fight of it. They're all dead? Yuan asked, his voice squeaking, his insides quaking. With a quick nod, Tamara replied, can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. Yuan wanted to throw up. Now get the woman and her cyborg friend over here. We're going down to the asteroid. The artifact. You're making a mistake, Dorn warned. The four of them, Tamara, Yuan, Elverda, and Dorn, were walking down the sloping tunnel inside the asteroid that led to the chamber where the artifact was housed. Tamara had placed Coop and a crewman at the tunnel's opening, up on the surface, inside the glass steel dome that protected the hatch. Don't be stupid, Tamara shot back, walking beside Dorn. You can't change my mind. The artifact won't give you control over Humphreys, Dorn insisted. You have no idea. Shut up, she snapped. He walked in silence for several paces, then turned to Elverda and asked in a lower voice, Do you want to see it again? Yes, she said, with only a little trepidation. And you? I see it every night in my dreams. Bringing up the rear of the little group, Yuan felt a mix of anticipation and dread. This asteroid was weird. It was one of the rocky type, but it seemed to be honeycombed with burrows that were apparently natural. Less than a kilometer in length, still the gravity here inside this tunnel was at least half an earthly G. Definitely not natural. And it was warm down in this tunnel, too. Something, some place, was heating the area. Overheating, Yuan thought, feeling slightly uncomfortable. What if this alien contraption actually does give us power over Humphreys? Yuan wondered. The cyborg says it won't, but what if it does? We'll be in control of the richest, most powerful man in the solar system. But then he thought, Humphreys isn't a man to be fooled with. If he finds out what we're doing, he'll have us all killed. If we can't control him, what we're doing here is writing our own death warrants. I've played plenty of computer games, he said to himself, but nothing like this. Tamara's a real gambler. She's willing to risk all of our lives for this. His throat felt dry, his insides fluttery. Still, he followed Tamara along the downward sloping tunnel. The rock walls narrowed. The ceiling got so low that Yuan began to stoop slightly. The old woman had slowed down so that she now walked beside him, her eyes bright and eager in her aged, withered face. Up ahead, the cyborg matched Tamara stride for stride. Tamara. She killed Ballestos, he reminded himself. She stood right next to the man and stabbed him in the heart. She's a murderer, a cold-blooded killer. Yuan realized that she'd been in charge of this mission all along. I only thought I was the captain. She pulled my strings and reported my every move back to Humphreys himself. Now she's rebelling, gambling for the chance to seize all of Humphreys' power, and I'm being towed along. She hasn't even asked me what I want to do. She's in charge, and there's nothing I can do about it. The tunnel ended abruptly at a blank stainless steel wall. Open it, Tamara said to Dorn. It slides open by itself, Dorn told them. When? On its own schedule. When the artifact was first discovered, I was in command of the security detail Humphreys sent here. I knew the gate's timing down to the second, but I've been away so long that its schedule may have changed.
We'll have to wait then, said Alverda.
It might take days, Dorn said.
We could blast the door down, Tamara said.
No, said Dorn. You can't.
Why not?
The gate is protected by some sort of energy field, he replied. Besides, an explosion might damage the artifact, if it was powerful enough to blast the gate open.
All right, Tamara decided. We'll wait.
Alverda took the colorful shawl from her shoulders, folded it into a makeshift pad, and sat on the stone floor. Dorn stood beside her, like a protective guard. Tamara turned to Yuan, her face shining with anticipation. We could still turn back, he said. It's not too late to forget this whole scheme.
Never, she snapped. This is the biggest opportunity of them all, and I'm playing it out all the way.
Yuan nodded. He knew she'd say something like that. Still, he wished he were a trillion kilometers away from here.
Whatever happened? Alverda asked no one in particular. To the scientists who were studying the artifact.
Humphreys never allowed the universities to send scientists here, Tamara replied. The IAA was furious, but Humphreys had a legal claim to utilization of the asteroid's resources, and that gave him the right to restrict visitors. He moved the roid out of its original orbit just to make it more difficult for anyone to reach it. Dorn said, I would have thought he would destroy it.
He wanted to, Tamara said. He still might if we give him the chance.
That's too much power for one man to have, Alverda said.
Tamara smirked at her. Yuan could read the expression on her face. Soon, one woman will have all that power.
At the other end of the tunnel, inside the glass-steel dome built on the asteroid surface, Coop's communicator buzzed. He flicked it open and saw the face of a security guard in one of the ships orbiting the asteroid. The woman looked upset, apprehensive. We just received a message from headquarters. They want to know what your ship, Viking, is doing at this location. Coop frowned back at the guard. How's headquarters know Viking's out here? Who told them? There's an automated identification system planted on the roid surface. It reports any vessel that comes within our perimeter back to headquarters. Coop grunted. Headquarters was on the moon, he knew, which meant that messages took half an hour or more to go one way. I'll relay the message to Commander Vyshinsky, he said. She's inside the rock right now, out of range of my handheld. Headquarters sounded pretty antsy, the comm officer said, and they also want to know who put Vyshinsky in command. What'd you tell them? Same thing she told me. Commander Ballestos died, and she took over for him.